Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. It is so good to be back with you again to share the Word of the Lord. And I have a very fascinating portion in Old Testament Scripture that I think you will appreciate the lessons that can be derived from it. But before we go there, let's take a moment in prayer. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you, Lord. Your Word is a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. And God, we're asking now that as you see every need of every listener, Father, we thank you that you are our God who's faithful to meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory. So, Lord, I pray for every need spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially. God, that you will move, as your Word said, to meet all of our needs. And Father, we thank you that you're a faithful God, you're true. And Lord, it is a blessing, a wonderful privilege to know you, to love you, and to serve you. Be with us now, Lord, as we go into the Word of the Lord, and give us strength for the day, hope for the future, and courage to proceed and walk along that pathway of holiness that you've designated for us until we're in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I'm going to be sharing from the book of 1 Kings, the 13th chapter. But before we go there, let's just do a little bit of background how Israel was at the time of this writing of this 1 Kings 13. The United Kingdom of Israel, as you know, it was the greatest extent of its borders existed in the time of King David, and the Lord designed that David's son Solomon was to inherit the throne. And we see that because of Solomon's idolatry, the United Kingdom of Israel became divided. The Lord said to Solomon, "Because you've not kept my covenant, I will surely rend the kingdom from you and give it to your servant, a man by the name of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was an Ephratite servant of Solomon." He was actually a servant, but he was an industrious man, and he was a mighty man of courage. So what happens in Solomon's reign? He places him in charge of all the forced labor of the house of Joseph. And I won't take the time to read this, but Ahijah the prophet meets Jeroboam in a field outside of Jerusalem and declares to him that God was about to rend the kingdom from Solomon and give him 10 tribes. And Ahijah vividly symbolizes the division by tearing a new four-cornered garment into 12 pieces, and he gave Jeroboam 10 of them. And in 1 Kings, the 11th chapter, verse 38, the Word of the Lord says, "If you will keep my commandments and hearken to all I command you, I will be with you and build you a sure house as I built for David, and will give Israel to you." What an amazing promise, because this is what God said he would do, that he would give him a sure house and give basically all of Israel to him. And so as a result, this word gets to Solomon. He tries to kill Jeroboam, but he flees to Egypt until the death of Solomon. Just think of what a great opportunity he had. What more could a man desire, to be placed in as king over God's people? And yet we see in his character as well as in his subsequent action, the true nature of the kind of man he was. He was grasping, he was eager for power and glory, and yet we see that that was on a personal level, but as far as his leadership, his apostasy was willful, it was designed, and it was persistent. 25 times through these chapters of the Old Testament, his name carries the dreadful brand, Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin. And he was in direct violation of God's commands in Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, verse 5, where God says, "But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither shalt thou come." Now there was one place of worship at the temple in Jerusalem. "And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings of your hand, your vows, your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and flocks. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand to, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God has blessed thee." Praise God. So this was an amazing blessing. But what do we see that happens? What does Jeroboam actually do? Well, he creates new centers of worship, one in the north, one in the south, in Dan and Bethel, and that was about 11 miles north of Jerusalem on the road to Jerusalem. There were new altars of sacrifice, and of course that the temple, of course, was a reminder of David's covenant, but he changed that. And there were new objects of worship. He created two golden calves in Dan and in Bethel. And he created a new priesthood, a non-Levitical priesthood, which God said would carry on the sacrifices of the people and be used in the temple for the worship of Jehovah God. And he also instituted a new annual feast. It was the 15th day of the 8th month. And why? Why would this be? Why would he do something like that? Well, let me just turn and read where Paul is giving his instructions to his son in the faith, Timothy. And I'll read verses 1 and 2. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Verse 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior." So, Why would Paul recommend that, and to all of us, to be praying for those in authority? Because first of all, the Word of God tells us that no one is in authority unless the Lord puts them there. But then they have a great responsibility to rule the people with justice and faithfulness and integrity. And if they fail to do that, they will be judged. And so, even though there have been many wicked dictators in the course of man's history, yet, according to the Word, God allows them there, and they have an opportunity to be able to turn to the living God. And I've said so many times, you know, God doesn't send anyone to hell. It's their choice, because God is merciful, and I believe regardless of their personal situation, regardless of whatever time in history they lived, I believe God would be merciful. He gives revelation, even in terms of the natural world of his existence, and so God would be faithful to those who would turn in sincerity in their heart to him. And certainly Jeroboam had an opportunity to do this. He was told by the prophet that he would have a kingdom established after him. But instead of seeking the Lord and serving him in sincerity and truth, he relied on his own logic, his own reason. And as a result, God was just waiting to see, what is this man going to do? And so that's why God says through Paul to Timothy, pray for those in leadership, because they have a tremendous responsibility, and to whom much is given, much shall be required. So that is what the Word of God says. But let's now go to 1 Kings. Let's go to our text. And I am going to read a few verses of that chapter. And it says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah." He's unnamed in this passage. "By the word of the Lord, he came unto Bethel and to King Jeroboam and stood by the altar to burn incense." Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense, and he cried against the altar, this is the prophet, in the word of the Lord, and said, "O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David. Josiah by name," imagine that, he specifically names the man, "and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." Well, I see my time has just flown away. We'll have to continue here reading this passage of Scripture in 1 Kings, that 13th chapter. I hope you can be with me as we go into this really fascinating portion of Scripture in terms of how God fulfills this word that is spoken. And so this is one of the reasons we can believe the word of God, because sometimes centuries pass, the words that are given to the prophets to speak, and we see the fulfillment of that sometimes hundreds of years later. Praise God. God is true. He is faithful. Well, I do thank you for joining me. I invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time. If any time you miss a broadcast, feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and you can listen to the broadcast at your convenience. God bless you. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.